Have you ever been offered a fix for something, a solution to a problem that just seems so simple that you reject it? I wonder why it is that we do that. Hi, and welcome to St Ninian's Church in Stonehouse. My name's Stuart, and I get to be the minister here. We're so glad that you have chosen to join us in our worship today. We're working through a portion of Matthew's Gospel at the moment, and today we find ourselves in chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 to 19 and 25 to 30. But to what will I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn." For John came, neither eating nor drinking, and they say, "He has a demon." The Son of Man came, eating and drinking, and they say, "Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Jesus only ever asks two things of us: love God and love your neighbour as you have been loved by Jesus. That's it. That's all there is. The rest is just commentary. And their response is, "Really? It's that simple? It can't be. There must be more to it than this. Put down your burdens. Come to me if you're tired and I will give you rest." "I can't. I can't just put this down. I've been carrying it for so long. I don't know how." "Tired? You have no idea how tired I am. But I can't rest. There's stuff to do, important stuff. And if I don't do it, who will? So thanks for the offer. But to be honest, it's just not realistic." I wonder, what burdens do you carry? We all have them. We all have things that we've packed up along the road and somehow we can't seem to put down. These burdens come in many forms: grief, worry, stress, responsibility, and guilt. They're absolutely all legitimate feelings. We live in a world that tries to tell us that feeling bad or sad or in any way negative is something to be avoided, and that's not true. Some of the problems that we face are precisely because we don't deal properly with those difficult moments. We feel guilty because we've done something wrong or failed to do something that we could have. Or we feel that we've failed to meet someone's expectations. That last one's often the one that hurts the most. "No, I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed." So what do we do with that? We could pretend that the whole thing didn't happen. We could lock it up in a box and try to put it to the back of our minds. And when we do that, it pops into our heads when we least expect it. It's still there. Or we could carry it around like a weight, a millstone around our necks. It drags us down, keeps us back. We feel grief because we've lost someone or something important to us. And again, that's a perfectly normal thing to experience. And I'll let you into a secret. It doesn't ever go away. Why would it? Grief changes, and there are absolutely things that we can do to help us to work through it in a healthy way. But why would we stop missing someone we loved? Stress is the thing that surprises us the most. We all think we know what stress is. Stress isn't a bad thing in and of itself. Stress can help motivate us and it can help us to perform better. Stress releases hormones, adrenaline, cortisol, things like that, that heighten our senses and make us able to do things that we might not normally be able to do. And when we're stressed, we tense up, ready to fight or to run away. Cortisol is a hormone. It does all kinds of things. It's produced when you are stressed. It triggers your body to produce usable energy, blood sugar, during times when we might need an extra boost of energy. But it also helps control your immune response to fight off an attack. When that stressful situation is over, your body stops producing extra adrenaline and cortisol, and your body and mind can feel really tired. And then you recover.
But what if your life is just one big, long, stressful day after the next? Chronic stress has a massive effect on our health. Your brain doesn't know how to react because, well, everything is stressful. Should it produce hormones or not? And that has an effect on everything. Our immune system doesn't work properly, our kidneys can't cope with all that extra blood sugar, and you're at the risk of diabetes. So stress isn't just about your feelings, it's a physical issue too. And our lives are full of stressors. The way we live makes us ill. Now, here's what we'll do with your burdens. We'll keep on some more. Have some more guilt to add to what you already feel as we all tut and stare and disapprove. But obviously we'll be feeling just as guilty about our own stuff. Have some stigma. We'll judge you for not being able to cope like we can cope, even though our lives are an absolute shambles. And in the very place that should be a sanctuary from all of that, the church, we can heap on some religious pressure to adhere to some unattainable behaviours or pattern of religious practices, and we'll judge you. We really like to judge you. Of course, we won't be doing all the things that we tell you to do either, but that doesn't really matter because it's the judging that we like. The band Blur called their second album Modern Life is Rubbish. I think it's one of my favourite album titles ever. And there's perhaps much to agree with in that sentiment. Life is tough. It's tough in all kinds of ways. Poverty's on the rise, housing is too expensive, food is too expensive, gas and electricity are too expensive. 0 hours contracts means that work is precarious, that diets are poor, and healthcare is under tremendous pressure. It's a perfect storm. And some of the choices that have been made by voters and governments haven't helped. All that causes people's lives to be stressful. And in those moments, we just want to take back control. Taking back control, that's one of those perfect political slogans. It chimes with people's fears about change. Things aren't like they used to be, and people feel there's nothing they can do to improve their lives. So into that fear, all you have to do is put up someone else to blame. Them. Those people over there. The ones who are different from you. It's their fault. It's usually people who seem remote, or people who are from other places, people with different customs or language or religion or skin colour. Them. They come here and take your job, or your place on a housing list, or your treatment in a hospital, or your benefits. And next on the list are experts who are painted as disconnected from real life, people in their ivory towers with their theories and their research. What do they know about how your life really is? And then, as political bodies. Them with their stupid rules and their red tape, they make my life more difficult. It doesn't matter that most of those rules and red tape are about keeping you safe, about giving you employment rights, maternity leave, healthcare when you travel. And when it came to the European Union, the UK government had a veto, so not one single piece of legislation that was passed by the EU was against what our parliament had approved. It couldn't be. Our lives seem so much to be at the mercy of other people and decisions made elsewhere that when someone tells you that you can have more control, we jump at the chance. We all want more control. Who wouldn't want more control, especially when our lives seem to have none? We have a very bad habit of blaming other people for our problems and our mistakes, and it's their fault that we are in a bad place. It happens all the time. We hit out at other people when we're afraid or embarrassed or ashamed, or we feel that we lack that control. And it almost never helps. And it's always been the same. The people Jesus is speaking to had very similar experiences. Their religious system demanded too much of them. It was really big in compliance. Their politics was a mess. They were an occupied nation again. They had no real say in what happened. They were taxed at the temple to worship. They were taxed in their work too. And everybody wanted a cut of their lives. They had no control. And along came John the Baptist preaching his message of a new way, a new kingdom. And people didn't like that because he was too austere, too harsh. He didn't drink, he ate locusts and honey and wore a camel hair tunic. It was all a bit over the top. And then came Jesus, and he was too soft. He did eat and drink, but with the wrong people. People like them. Well, people like me, but the wrong people. It's so easy to reject solutions, especially when they demand some kind of change from us. We like things that will fix us without actually having to do much. Medication's brilliant. I can take a pill for that condition and just keep doing what got me here in the first place. We all know that change is hard. Change is especially hard when it means that we need to look at ourselves and make changes to who we are, how we react, and how we live. We do the same with those changes as we do with other stuff. We make them too big, too hard to actually do, and then we beat ourselves up when we fail, so we're even less likely to try the next time. And I wonder if that's our problem with Jesus. It all seems so unlikely to work. Really? It sounds really simple. Jesus only asks us two things, love God and love your neighbour as Jesus has loved us. That's it. That's all there is. The rest, it's just commentary. And our response is, but surely defeating an empire would need an army and training and strategy. Surely changing how we live is going to need a clearly thought through process. Surely God isn't going to be happy if we just stop doing all of these rituals, is he? And not everyone will buy into this stuff. So, to be honest, it's not really going to succeed, will it? And Jesus' response is, look, my yoke is kind and good. My burden is small. No, really. Love God, love your neighbour as I've loved you. That's it. That's all you really need to do. Do your best. Just do what you can. Why is it so hard to believe in something so simple? Partly because the change is huge. It's a complete and total transformation, but not in the way that we think. My friend Dorothy nailed it. She said, the older I get, the more I believe. The whole of life is one big movement of becoming the person God made you to be in the first place. We spend so much time and energy trying to be someone else, something else. I often wonder why Jesus chose fishermen and tax collectors as disciples. Perhaps it was to show that being you, you, is enough. This is about being in a different way, not being something different. To make the changes, we need to take Jesus very, very seriously. We need to love one another. Because when we love one another, there's no guilt, no shame, no envy. Love means that you don't need to carry those burdens. You can lay them down. Really, yes, you can. Love means that you don't need to live with that guilt and shame. Because forgiveness is real and it's for you, for all of us. Love means that you don't need to work to earn God's love and approval. God loves you and there's nothing that you can do to change that. Love God and love your neighbour, as Jesus loved you. And that's it. The Beatles were right. Love really is all you need.
Voices to the Lord Most High. With joyful singing we will glorify the great Creator, the author of all life. We are his people and he is our God. He always guides us in his ways with love. Let joyful praises come fill this place in song. For the Lord is good, we shout for joy because the Lord is good. He rules the earth with everlasting love. How good is our God? Enter his presence with a thankful heart. Enter his courts and let the praises start. Give God the glory, for he deserves it all. All of creation lives to worship God. We were created as an act of love. Let adoration flow from this place in song. Thank you.
Today, God, we pray for all the things that divide us, all the things that keep us from seeing your image in each other, in our enemies and in ourselves. We pray for the things we think unite us, but actually push other people away. So move us beyond our teams, our tribes, our parties, our definitions, and our denominations. Prepare us for lives of yoke sharing, burden lifting, grace proclaiming, and peace breathing. For you are gentle and humble of heart, so help us to be too. We pray for the bereaved and the lonely and the destitute. We pray for those caught up in fighting and wars that they have no say over. We pray for those unable to pay bills or feed their families. We pray for those living with illness. We pray for ourselves and our loved ones, each of us with our own strengths and weaknesses, each of us made to be who you want us to be. Hear us, Lord, as we bring our prayers to you in the silence. God, we are pleased to be able to join in Jesus' words, saying together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. In our weariness, we came before you, God, carrying our burdens. We came before you, God, confused and uncertain, fragile and shaky. But in you, we find what we need. So support us and make us strong, Lord. Unite us as your people and make the bonds between us stable. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, you are the arch of divine love that holds us together and holds together our whole existence. So be with us and bless us today and always.